Hello, welcome. You're listening to Feed, Play, Love, a bite-sized parenting podcast, a place you can find advice, understanding, and support as you care for your small humans. I'm Siobhan Hunt.
Happy New Year! 2020 was a bit of a doozy, wasn't it? How's the first 4 days of the new year been for you? Parents don't tend to have a big, rowdy New Year's Eve. Perhaps that's meant you spent the time contemplating your goals for the new year. New Year's resolutions, though, can be contentious things. For some people, it's great to set a goal, something to look forward to. For others, it's just setting yourself up for failure. Karen Young from Hey Sigmund is a parenting educator and former psychologist. She's an expert on anxiety as well, which is something you might get if you don't reach your goals. Hi, Karen, how are you?
Hello, I'm well, thank you. How are you going?
Good, thank you. I'm curious to know what your take is on New Year's resolutions or goals. Do you have an opinion whether they're good or bad?
Do you know what? I just think it's added pressure because we do these things, and really New Year's Day is just another day. It could just as easily be the start of the week or the start of the month or the start of summer. But when we do it at the start of the year, I just feel like it's extra pressure on us and something else that we have to perform to, and I just feel like we're living in a world where we could do with a bit less of that.
What about, I guess, the types of things that people might decide to have a goal or a resolution around? A lot of the times, from what I can tell, it's about money or weight. And are they healthy things to strive for, you know, loss of weight or getting more money? I mean, in some ways, money can represent security and losing weight can represent being healthy.
Yeah.
Are some goals okay to have?
Of course. So I think what we need to do, I think it's a really great thing to have broad goals. So rather than a goal being something like, I'm going to make sure that I exercise for half an hour every weekday, which the problem with that, as soon as you miss a weekday, we tend to focus more on the day we missed than all of the days we got. And there can be a sense of, oh, I've ruined it now, and now I need to start again. Whereas if we have a broad goal, which is I just want to live a healthier life, and then have what that means, as long as it's aligning with your values, and if one of those is to live a healthier life or to make sure that I play more or I worry less or whatever it is, they're not necessarily values, but those broad goals, then we're not locking ourselves into this rigid structure, which is where we get the trouble. But absolutely, I think having an umbrella to guide our behaviour, I think that's a good thing.
Now, I am a very routine-based person. Sometimes I think I'm just like a toddler. I thrive best when I have very definitive boundaries and routines and things like that. And sometimes I feel like having a definitive goal, like I will exercise 3 times a week or something like that, that would work for me.
Absolutely. And if that's something that works for you, go for it. I think as long as we're doing it with compassion to ourselves and flexibility when it's needed, so that if it doesn't go to plan, we can say, well, that's because I haven't been well this week, or that's because there were other parts of my life that needed me more. I think that can be a really good thing. If you live a life where something else is always taking priority, so work might always be taking priority over, say, exercise, and that can be a helpful thing then, because if you've got that goal, it can guide you through, as long as there is also space, as long as it's not so rigid that it's going to make you feel like you haven't performed if it doesn't go to plan 1 week.
I'm sure there must be lots of people that do that, because I know, you know, I might exercise 3 times a week most weeks, but if I miss a week of it, then all of a sudden I think, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Where am I going to find the time? I don't put it into perspective. I think a lot of people must do that, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do, because we want that to work out. We've made it a goal. We want to reach that goal. But within that goal, we have to have other things built in and make room for flexibility. So it might be, I'm going to exercise 3 times a week, but if I have a week a month where I miss the beat on it or I have a misstep, then that's okay too. I'll get back on the horse and keep going. It's when it's too rigid and we punish ourselves for not reaching that goal. So if there's things built into it, not that we can let ourselves off the hook unnecessarily and talk ourselves out of it, we still want to hold ourselves accountable to any of our potential or where we want to head up. But if there's things built in so that we can be forgiving when we need to ourselves.
If someone has decided that they have that goal of living a healthier life or maybe saving more money this year, do you have any tips on how you can set up a successful kind of experience? I mean, keeping in mind what you're saying about not being too rigid, but are there any ways that we can kind of keep ourselves on track without, I don't know, flagellating ourselves for not doing everything all the time?
So have broader goals. So if the goal is to live a healthier life, or if the goal is, say, to save money, and rather than I'm just not going to buy takeaway meals at all anymore, and I'm going to save that money, have the goal, I want to save money, but rather than what the process is going to look like, what does that actually look like? How will you know if you've reached that goal? What does saving money look like? Is there a long-term plan here? What does it look like? Have you got a target with that? And then have reachable goals within that. So it might be that I'm going to cut down on takeaway coffee, and instead of buying 2 a day, I'm going to just have 6 a week or something like that. So if you're having a terrible day, you know, a few days and you need to do, but have them reachable. So built into that is you're not saying I'm only going to have 1 a day, because you can catch it up, you can pick it up. Does that make sense? So have that, have your broad goal.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I've don't make me sacrifice my coffee, Carol.
No, there are things that we shouldn't do.
It's just too hard. What about people who might be looking for something to aim towards? How do you find, I mean, most people know what it is they want to achieve, but what if you're someone who's kind of a little bit relaxed about things and you're thinking, well, I would like to work towards something, but I don't know how to work out what's the most important thing for me. Do you have any suggestions on how you might find that goal?
Yeah, so unless it's something you feel emotionally connected to or invested in, it's going to be really tricky to do. And that's where the idea of New Year's goals can be difficult, because there's something in a New Year's resolution that suggests success or failure. And we don't want to do that. So what is something that, where do you find your fun? What is something you've been thinking that you'd like to do more of or less of this year than last year? And just be guided to by that. When you look around at the lives of other people, is there something that you get curious about that you'd like to try or that you'd like to shift towards? Where does that happen? If there is no goal and there is no emotional connection to anything, I'd say, well, what's the importance of that? What's missing? That's a really important thing, even though there is nothing specific there. Is there a way you can just play without it being this pass or fail idea that can come with a resolution?
Well, now that I know how you feel about these things, my last question may be completely irrelevant, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you have any goals or any broad things you're hoping to achieve in 2021?
Absolutely. I want to start sleeping better. So that's a perfect example and a beautiful question. So rather than saying, I want to make sure I get 8 hours sleep every night, I've actually done that. I've done that so many times and I last about 2 days. Because I actually love being up late at night. I'm not necessarily an early morning person, but I love being up late at night. So I'll do I want to get at least 8 hours sleep a night. After a couple of nights, I don't do it, and then I don't go back to it until I feel motivated again. But I just think it doesn't need to be that way. So within that, I'm trying to head towards 8 hours of sleep a night. I'd like to do that more. But if I have a night where I miss it or 2 nights where I miss it, I'm going to let myself off the hook. So that's what I mean about the broader goals, rather than being so rigid and that pass or fail, because when you fail, then you walk away from it. It's more that I'm just kind of trying to tip my lifestyle more towards that. So that's a massive one for me. I want to work on getting more sleep.
Karen, thank you so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Karen Young from Hey Sigmund, and there's lots of great information at her website. I'll put links in the notes for this episode.
Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.